All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Everyone, please chant with me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Govindaya Namo Namaha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let us all chant once more with full concentration from the bottom of our hearts. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Today is a very auspicious day. All of you know that today our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, His Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, today He left this world for divine abode. So our discussion today, association here, will be incomplete or deficient without glorifying in few words His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I feel a little special connection with Him because my younger daughter was born on this day. So it was actually the mercy of His Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati by which I got myself connected with Him little more than before. Before that it was a general connection like everybody who is initiated will have with Him. But because of this event, it became naturally very deep. And in his mantra we have, we will chant the mantra, for his pranati mantra. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati Iti Namine, Sri Varshabhanavi Devi, Daitaya Kripabdaye, Krishna Sambandha Vijnana, Daine Prabhave Namaha, Madhuryojvala Premadhyā, Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida, Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti, Vigrahaya Namostute, Namaste Gauravani, Sri Murtaye Dinatarine. Rupanuga Viruddha Apasiddhanta Dhvanta Harine. Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki. So there is one word, Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdhaye. This is the first initiation name of Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta. Sri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdhaye. So this name Varshabhanavi was given to my daughter because it was happening on the disappearance day. And Varshabhanavi means the daughter of Vrishabhanu Maharaj. The father of Radharani's name is Vrishabhanu Maharaj, who is the incarnation of Surya Dev, Bhanu Maharaj. So we all know Thakurji was known as Simha Guru. His convictions about Sri Krishna being the supreme personality of Godhead was so strong that when he would sit to talk, all the people who didn't believe in the personality of Godhead would flee away. And nobody would dare to debate with him. If anybody would dare to debate with him, he would smash them to pieces. So many of the people who were not believing in the personality aspect of the Godhead, they would just run away when he would come somewhere, whenever he would come. And that's why he's called as Simha Guru. And all of us should have their conviction, because we are all grandchildren, great-grandchildren of Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta. Because to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead as personality, as Vyaktitva, is extremely important, because he is a person. There is no question of Lord being a energy or light or something like that. But in India, somehow or other, the majority of the movements that we have, spiritual movements, they all somehow believe that Lord is energy, Lord is light, Lord is impersonal, he has no hands and legs, we have to merge in him and we have to become one with him, and we all are actually lords, minute lords, and we have to become one with the big Lord. We are Anu Atma, Lord is Vibhu, so we have to just merge in the Vibhu, become one with him and lose our identity and become one with him. All these concepts are very prevalent in India. But Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta was extremely bold personality, fearless personality. How one becomes fearless? One who takes shelter at the two lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. The first and foremost symptom of taking shelter is becoming fearless. That means vice versa. Till the time we have some fear in mind, we have not taken complete shelter at the feet of the Lord. This equation also holds true. Vice versa. It's like we say, always remember Krishna. But we also say, don't forget Krishna. So both these are important. So like that, if we have any fear in life, that means we have not taken complete shelter effectively at the feet of the Lord. And Thakurji was extremely fearless. And what is the greatest fear we have in life? Generally, what fear do we have? Fear of death. Everybody is scared of death. And the first and foremost symptom of a surrendered soul, that he becomes fearless of death. He only is fearful of one thing, forgetfulness of the Lord. What Tukaram Maharaj says, Echi dana dega deva tuja visarana bhava. The only prayer that a devotee asks at the feet of the Lord, please give me your remembrance. I do not want to forget you. I don't want anything else, but I fear forgetting you. I am fearful of forgetting you. So please bestow me a blessing that I will always remember you and I will never forget you. So Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta was such a bold, fearless personality because he had taken complete shelter at the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. And he would say always that this world is not meant for gentlemen, also for gentlewomen also. Because gentleman means very cultured, very well behaved, having values, very honest, simple hearted, helping nature, tolerant, humble, and everything else is ungentlemanly. Somebody is arrogant, uddand. So this world is filled with people who are not gentlemen. So if you become a gentleman, it becomes very difficult to survive satisfactorily, happily in this world. Those who are crooked people, they are quite satisfied and quite settled in this world. Those who are not crooked-hearted, they are simple-hearted. They are very uncomfortable in this world because everywhere they get exploited, bad experiences and frustrations are there, you know. Suffering is there, so much suffering is there. And he always said that if you want to be happy in this world, don't be of this world. Be of this different world. Even Jesus Christ said the same thing. If you want to be happy in this world, stop trying to be happy in this world. If you want to be happy in jail, stop trying to be happy in jail. Try to get out of the jail. That is the... just move a little bit this side. A little bit. Thank you. So, the secret of this material world, to be happy in this material world, is just stop trying to find happiness in this material world. He used to preach this very boldly. If you are in the Karela farm, don't look for mango there. You go to right side, left side, center, in between, behind, corner, left corner, right corner, north east, south east, wherever you go, you only find Karela. Don't look for mango juice in Karela farm. Somebody will say, you have not seen in northeast direction. You can go in northeast. Maybe there is some mango juice available. No, it will not be available. Because mango is not planted there. It's not a plan of the plantation. Plan is to plant Karela only. And you ought to expect is only bitter taste, whatever you bite from all directions. If you bite Karela from front, back, behind, center, in the corner, in the end, how will it taste? It will only taste bitter. You can't expect. However, you pray hard in the heart, you know, pray, my Lord, I want to taste some sweetness. Please, this attempt of mine of biting should give me sweet taste. But will it taste good? Sweet? No. It is supposed to be, it is designed to be, it is planned to be, it is orchestrated to be bitter. So he would preach that very strongly. A true devotee of the Lord will never hope to become happy in this world. Neither we should attempt. Whatever happiness comes by its own accord, just say thank you very much. But you look for happiness, then sure you will be distressed. If you keep hope of getting happiness from this material world, then sure you will be distressed. But if you are prepared before only, that I know the place I am in, I am not supposed to receive any happiness. It is not designed to be. Then I can accept it nicely and be peaceful. I am not saying that this world is designed not to be happy. Who am I? I am not a creator of this world. The creator of this world, Lord Sri Krishna, he is saying, Mam upetitu kaunteya dukkhalayam ashashvatam. In Bhagavad Gita he says this. This is the month of Bhagavad Gita, Marga Shirsha. Very auspicious month. Sri Krishna himself says, Masanam Margashirshoham, I am the month of Margashirsha myself. In this month, Bhagavad Gita was spoken. And in that Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna says, this world is Dukkha Alayam. Alayam means home. Dukkha means Dukkha. Home of Dukkha. Filled with Dukkha. And also Ashashvatam. Everything what you see today will end tomorrow. Whatever you see will have beginning and will have end. And the same Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Adyantu Vantu Kaunteya Nateshu Ramate Buddha. Adi and Anta. Adyantu Vantu. Kaunteya, hey Kaunteya, hey Arjuna. Whatever has beginning and whatever has end. Wise person, do not keep any hope there. Anything which has beginning and end. Ramate Buddha. Buddha means Buddhiman. Intelligent people. They do not keep any hope there. They do not ramate, also they do not take interest over there. Ramate means they don't try to find happiness over there. So there are many, many golden lines which Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta spoke. His birth also was very, very divine. His father was Thakur Bhakti Vinod. I was telling my friend today morning. His father was Thakur Bhakti Vinod, the magistrate at British time. He was so efficient and so intelligent. That 16 hours of court work, judicial work, he would do in 4 hours. He was the most wanted judge of his own times. And you know, British people never cared and respected Indians. Because they always thought they are substandard Asian guys. But they respected him so much. At one time he wanted to retire from his job. And go to Navadvip Dham to do his service to the Lord. So British government asked him where he want to go. He told Godruma Dvipa, my house is there. So they transferred him to Krishnanagar court. And they drew a railway line from Krishnanagar court gate to the gate of his house. And there was one bogie railway with one engine. One passenger, 4 guards, 1 motorman and no one else. Thakur Bhakti Vinod, like you get in your car, he would get in the train and go to his office. Work for 4 hours and come back. Imagine how glorious this personality must be to have such kind of respect from those proud British rulers. And he did that for many years, from Krishnanagar to Godruma Dvipa. Even today also, if you go to his house, the house is still there. Railway line also is still there. It's under repair right now. Krishnanagar court also is still there. The railway line is still there. Now it is a local train. It takes people nowadays. To such great personality, he was born. And Thakur Bhakti Vinod had 10 children, some say 13 children. 6 of them became sannyasis. And then he was still praying to the Lord. My Lord, please send one ray of yours as my son. So that he can preach the doctrine of bhakti of the Lord to all over the world. And then whenever he was conceived by his wife. That time he was posted in Jagannath Puri as a judge. And naturally, because of being a DM, no, district magistrate, we have post called DM now. That time it was called collector. And collector would not only be judge, but also will be controller of administration of this district. That means the local temples, local big authorities, big institutions will be under him. Mahamandalas, all this will be under him. So by the dint of that power, he had Jagannath Puri temple under his control. So he improved the level of worship to the great extent. And he was like the chief adhikari of Jagannath temple. Today we are celebrating Lord Jagannath's first year birthday to Mataji's house. So Lord Jagannath's temple he was maintaining, and he did great service to Lord Jagannath by improving the standards of worship. And then his wife had just delivered a baby boy, and Rath Yatra came. He was 6 months old that time. Like his appearance day, birthday will come in January sometimes. Today we are having disappearance day, Tirubhav, Punyatithi. So he was about 6 months. By July he was 6 months old, you know. And Jagannath Rath Yatra started from the point of beginning, from the door of the temple, and came and stopped at one place. How many of you have gone to Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra? Jagannath Puri is one thing, Rath Yatra is another thing. How many of you have gone to Rath Yatra? Okay. Rath Yatra means the Lord will sit in the chariot and he'll be pulled by devotees, and devotees think that they pull him. Everybody thinks that we are pulling him, you know, we are bringing him. But he, I have seen with my own eyes that devotees are pulling him in this direction, like maybe from that point to my direction, and Rath goes that direction. I have seen that. You keep pulling him one direction and you also go in that direction, but Rath goes that direction. And that you ask them, not the people like us who are pulling, you ask those who are local pandas, then they will tell you, it is not we who are pulling him, it is he who moves at his own desire. Sometimes Saganath Rath Yatra goes in some shops, you know, enter in some shops, and then government will reimburse the owners of the shop, remove all the shops, and that becomes Rath Yatra road next year. This is a fact. Why the grand road has become grand road? Because it was small before, then one year he went this side and removed some shops. Next year he went this side, removed some shops. Next year further. So he became grand and grander and grandest. So like that, that year he went. And that year he just stopped. And where he stopped? In front of the house of Thakur Bhakti Vinod. It was like official quarters, government quarters, a big bungalow, you know. So taking opportunity, his wife brought the newborn baby. What you would do, if suppose you have a Rath stand in front of your house, immediately you bring your baby, whoever is your children, come, bitta, come. Lord has come at our doorstep. Let us get mercy of the Lord. Let us bow down. So she brought the baby, and because she was wife of a big person, so she had opportunity to put the baby right at the feet of Lord Jagannath. Ordinary people may not get the chance, but because she was the DM's wife and newborn baby, so they put the baby right at the feet of the Lord, and immediately the garland from Lord Jagannath fell around the baby. Everybody saw, even Thakur Bhakti Vinod saw. And that time Thakur Bhakti Vinod realized, this is the answer to my prayers. I had prayed that a ray of Vishnu, O my Lord, one of your rays should take birth as my child and should preach the doctrine of bhakti to this world effectively and powerfully. And when this happened, he understood that ray of Vishnu had appeared. That is why the biography book of Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta is called as The Ray of Vishnu. If you do not have it, you can look for it, purchase it. It's a very inspiring and very powerful book which gives you a lot of inner strength to face the life and to still be a devotee of the Lord. Because to be a devotee may be a little easier. It's not so easy nowadays, but still, if you have all become devotees, then to be a devotee is still easier. To maintain devotion in this world is very difficult. Lots of things happen up and down. Challenges come. It weakens our faith. We see things going wrong in front of our eyes amongst devotees. And we see, why I become devotee? This is what is going on amongst devotees. So lots of tests come. And to destroy devotion is so easy in this time and age. So his biography will give you strength to continue your devotional service with full faith. And at one time he did 1 billion names of the Lord. It took 10 years for him. 24/7 almost he was in one project only. He went to Alalanath. How many of you have gone to Alalanath? Alalanath is the place where Lord Vishnu resides. His name is Alalanath. Alvarnath. So, badme Alalanath. Alvars used to worship him. So, he's called Alalanath. And there, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would feel sorry to have no darshan of Lord Jagannath during Rath Yatra time, before Rath Yatra time, Anavasara period, at that time Jagannath Rath Yatra darshan would be closed. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go there to pacify himself, somehow solace himself, console himself, and take darshan of Lord Alalanath there. So that place Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta went and did a pran of 1 billion names of the Lord. It took 10 years, that means how many days? 3,650 days. Continuously, day and night, chanting the holy names. 1 billion is 100 crores. You go home and calculate how many rounds it must be. Huh? Please calculate. 108 divided by 108. And once, how many rounds he must have chanted? How many rounds per day you can come? And it is said that in that period he would remain in trance of bhakti. And he was found unconscious many times in trance. There's a place called Radha Kund which he developed at Alalanath. That you have seen when you have gone there? The temple of Gandharvika Giridhari, which he has built himself. He was such a visionary actually. And he used to be found unconscious many times at the banks of Radha Kund, at that place, Alalanath. And he, by his devotional realization, declared to the world that this place is not different from place in Vrindavan. It's such a beautiful place actually. So to build that temple, he actually rolled biddies for the workers. Many people argue with that. Because the workers, you know, workers are workers. They sometimes drink, and you are constructing a house, they are drinking, they are workers, they are class 4 employees. So they would waste time in rolling their biddies and take much, that much time they would take off from the construction work. Matlab, you are on construction, but your biddies are over, you take a break and you roll your biddies yourself, and yet that much time you spend and you smoke the biddies and then you go to work. So he said, don't stop the work. I will roll biddies for you, but don't stop the work. Some people argue with that, but anyways, the point we can take from here is such determination he had to do the needful looking at the situation. It doesn't mean that he was promoting smoking biddies. It only meant how much determined and focused he was in his mission of building the temple. And the temple was named as Gandharvika Giridhari. Very beautiful temple. And at one opportune time, one boy, 24-year-old, his name was Abhay Charan Day, was a college student, follower of Mahatma Gandhi, inspired by Mahatma Gandhi's Swadeshi Chale Jao mood and everything. First Lokman Tilak, then Mahatma Gandhi. Very much motivated with nationalism to free India from British rule. He was taken by one of his friend on one terrace, like this terrace. And one sadhu was preaching there. That was Bhakti Siddhan Saraswati. And this young boy comes and bows down, as our custom is to bow down to sadhus. Before he could rise from his bowing down position, Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta said, "You are an educated man. You have studied English. Why don't you preach the doctrine of bhakti in English language to all the Western world?" So that boy felt, "I don't even know you. How can you give me such a big instruction? I'm not your student. I'm not your whatever disciple or anything. With no connection, how can you give me such a big instruction?" So there was argument, there was question and humble question answers, and in that Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta defeated that personality, Abhay Charan Day, and convinced him that you are an educated man, you should go to the Western world and preach this doctrine of bhakti to everybody else. And that Abhay Charan Day was none other than His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who founded ISKCON. At age of 22, he was instructed by Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta. And 11 years he cultivated that thought in his mind, and 1933 he was formally given Diksha by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then later on he took sannyas and he became Bhakti Vedanta Swami. So 22 he met him, 33 he got Diksha, 44 he started distributing Back to God magazine, 55 he took sannyas, and 66 he formed Hare Krishna movement, and 77 he left. So that was the power of Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta's instruction. It went right deep in the heart of Prabhupada ji, Bhakti Vedanta Swami, deep in the heart. And constantly in 1936 Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta left this world. He departed. But he kept on coming in the dream of Bhaktivedanta Swami. And again repeating the same instruction which he told at the age of 22 in Kolkata on some rooftop. Why don't you go to the Western world and preach this doctrine of bhakti in English language? It's like a, in one sense, like haunting, you know, constantly he was haunted with that instruction. But of course not haunting. Spiritual master coming in the dream and telling you something is not a dream, it's a reality. That's the only time all of you can consider dream as true. Rest all dreams are the hard work of the mind. Whatever you do hard work at mental level appears in the dream. You see gold in some pocket, somebody's pocket, and you see mountain. In the dream you see golden mountain. It's the mind's hard work, mind's chemistry and union to make something dreamy. So we can't take such dreams true. But the dream, when spiritual master comes, Guru Maharaj comes in your dream and gives you some instruction, that is true. You have to take it very seriously. So Prabhupada kept on coming. Bhaktisiddhanta ji kept on coming in the dreams of Prabhupada Bhaktivedanta Swami. And finally, after completing his duties with family, he took sannyas and fulfilled his order. It was the father of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Thakur Bhakti Vinod, in 1896. The year Bhaktivedanta Swami was born, Abhay Charan was born in Kolkata. That year, Thakur Bhakti Vinod predicted, one Senapati Bhakta will come and will go to the west and preach the science of Bhakti to Western world. It was he who saw that drishtanta, daydream. Night time he was standing and with his naked eyes in the wakeful hours. He was wakeful. It was night time. He saw across Jalangi in Navadvip Dham a great effulgence. And in that effulgence he saw a great temple, a very big divine temple. And then he saw all the Westerners raising their hands. Some of them yellow color, some of them wheatish color, some of them fair color, red color, pink color, all kinds of color. Today we know they were Chinese, Europeans, British, Americans, all kinds of colors, raising their hands and chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he immediately told everybody, Bhavishyavani, very soon there will be a temple called Adbhut Mandir, from where the holy name will be preached all over the world. And all the people from all over the countries, unknown to the holy name of the Lord, will be known, will be accustomed, will be knowing knowledge of the holy name. They will leave their countries and come to this holy place. And at this very place of birth of Lord Chaitanya, they will chant the holy name, raising their hands. This he predicted. And then soon, Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada was born. And whatever he predicted was fulfilled through the agency of Bhaktivedanta Swami. But whose disciple he was? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And who told him to do this was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Today we and all of us are sitting on this terrace over here. We have a Jagannath in front of us. We are celebrating nice festival. They are not from big temple of Jagannath. They are somebody's house temple Jagannath. That means Jagannath has entered in private houses also now. If you come to Mira Road, how many of you come to Mira Road? You have to find a house where Lord Jagannath is not there. Devotees' houses, when you go, each and every house has Lord Jagannath. The big temple, main temple of ISKCON in Mira Road also has Jagannath. So, this is the legacy that our acharyas are giving. We call Dharohar in Hindi. Thakur Bhaktisiddhanta instructed and followed up even in dreams also, after departure also. And Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada took that instruction to his heart and underwent so many troubles, so many difficulties, so many inconveniences. At the fag end of his life, after 69 years of age, and founded the Hare Krishna movement in Western world under one tree called Hare Krishna tree in Tompkins Square Park in New York. I visited that place, very holy place. There he founded the movement. The first Harinam Sankirtan was conducted over there. Today, you know, we can read the book and we can really have fascinations while reading. But one has to imagine what kind of situations were there when Prabhupada actually went there with no support in the old age of 67, 69. Sometimes reading the book is very nice. But how many of you are 69 here? Anybody 69 here? How old are you, Mataji? How do you feel at 70? If someone tells you that please go to the Western world and start a movement, start a movement of preaching Hare Krishna Mahamantra, what will happen to us if we are told at 69? I will say, Hare, my dear Prabhu, my dear Maharaj, I have blood pressure, I have diabetes, I have heart disease, I have backache, I have got spondylitis in the neck, in the back, and my knees hurt, and my ankles hurt, I have got advanced osteoarthritis. I can go on telling, my dear sir, I have got rheumatoid arthritis in the small joints also. My vision is so weak, I can't turn my neck for 2 minutes, because if I turn more than 2 minutes, it hurts. I can't tell you, I can go on, sir, telling you what all things are there. And all those things were there at that time also. But Prabhupada went. To really understand the glory of Srila Prabhupada, we have to know what it means to become 69. Today everybody knows why we're at 69. That is something else that inspires people. But this, to understand what is 69, is different. What it means to become 69. And then to start a movement, worldwide movement. Old man, you know. All happens, all these things, kind of things happen, unbelievable, unimaginable, by the power of Guru. When the Guru instructs you, like Bhakti Siddhanta ji instructed Bhakti Vedanta Swami, with the instruction, the power to fulfill the instruction also comes. It's not a frustrating environment. Go and lift the mountain, and you're not given the strength to lift the mountain. It's frustrating, right? To frustrate you, I'm telling you, go and lift the mountain. I instruct you as a disciple, as a guru. But I'm not giving any power to you to lift. But when the spiritual master gives any order to anybody, along with the instruction comes the potency to do the needful. So it was the potency of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, because of which today we are sitting here. So many years have passed now, 50 years have passed. 1966, Srila Prabhupada founded Hare Krishna movement. And this year we celebrated 50 years, we already completed, we are in 51st year now. Maybe some of us are not even born that time, in Hare Krishna movement was born. But we all are the recipients of the benefits of this movement. And what is the glory of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati? In the Indian continent, when the predomination of understanding was that Lord is not the person, He is energy, He is light. In that era, Thakur Bhaktisiddhanta ji stood upright and boldly preached that Supreme Personality of Godhead is a person, is not a Shakti. He is Shaktiman, whose Shakti prevails everywhere. It took some courage for him, but he was so bold. Then other people who would preach non-impersonalism, they would run away. So we all have to understand, finally, we all in ourselves, we have some impersonal tendencies. That is because of the influence of the environment, you know. But we are taught again and again by our philosophy, by Bhagavad Gita, by Srimad Bhagavatam, that we are all people, we are all persons, we are all individuals. Each and everybody is an individual and a person at the same time. And our master, our source, is also a person, a supreme person. And we are connected with each other with love and devotion. That is a fact of life. We may be black or white or short or tall or educated, uneducated, rich or poor, and healthy or unhealthy, Bangalorians or Mangalorians, or Mumbaiites and Delhiites, whoever we may be, pure caste we may be. We are all persons. We have emotions, we have sentiments, we have emotional needs, and that can be fulfilled only by connecting ourselves with the Lord. Many people think that, most people of us, we think, and even if you don't think, we are all working hard to make money as an untold primary goal in life. Because nobody preaches you to do that. But somehow, from within, we are motivated to always work for money. But that money never gives happiness to us. The real secret of happiness is with reuniting with the Supreme Lord again in this life. And that was the message which Thakur Bhakti Siddhanta gave. The ultimate purpose of life is to connect with the Lord. If we are having big posts in life, we are educated, we are highly posted, having a lot of influence, and we have a lot of money coming up that, we have a lot of properties, and so many things we can do, we are extraordinary persons. But all this is without the Lord, and without the Lord's connection is useless. Because all this is we are proud of, We have to leave behind and go. If you have something which you can carry with you to the next life, that is called wealth. If you have accumulated all the wealth in your life, which you have to be living over here, which you will be forced to live here only, then it is not your wealth. Because your wealth will go with you. Now I have got some rupees in my pocket. If it is mine, it will go with me. If it is not mine, it will not go with me. It will remain behind only. I will not take the mrudanga with me. When I will use it here, I can use, I will sing, kartal, everything is there. But I will not be daring to take the mrudanga with me. But it is not mine. Like that, the money, that property, the ownership, whatever you have, the post that you have, the health that you have now, the youth that you have, that charisma that you have. First of all, everything is going to end at one point of time. Maybe at one point of time, before your death, much before death also, it's going to end. You're going to retire sometimes and you're going to become deaf and blind and everything. So in the life only, everything will be taken away from you at one point of time. And at the death, all the property that you think you own will be also, you have to leave behind and go naked from here. So the wise person is that person who works hard to yield and collect that wealth which is takeable with you at the moment of death. That is wise person. So that person, as Thakur Bhaktisiddhanta said, does not keep so much of hope in this world. He lives to serve the Lord and accumulate things which he can carry to the next world. He is a wealthy man. That man can be healthy, happy and blissful while he is here. And he will be happy also when he leaves this world. Everybody else is very, very unhappy when he is leaving this world. Most unhappy. Nobody wants to die. And everyone else also is crying when you are leaving. But when he lives in this world first, he is blissful. And when he leaves the world, also he is blissful. Maybe others are crying, but he is blissful. We want to live that kind of life, which will make you happy now, truthfully. Not on the phone, how are you, I'm happy, I'm fine, I'm good. Not that kind of happiness. True happiness from within. We want to have, when we are living here, and we want to pass away in great happiness, remembering the Lord. That is our wealth. So, I can go on telling about Dr. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But today I can tell you, and I want to have you with me in saying this, that we are very, very proud that we are connected with Thakur Bhaktisiddhanta. We don't have to fear. With his instruction, the whole empire of Hare Krishna movement in the world has taken place. With 652 centers and hundreds of farms and hundreds of arrangements and billions of books have been distributed and lives have been transformed. Free from sin, divine lives filled with love and devotion for the Lord. We are connected with him. That is our great fortune. The great acharyas, the great sadhus and saintly people, they may not be with you physically. They may have left this world long back. 1936, how many years back now? 70 plus 10, 80 years back. Prabhupada left 77. How many years? 23 plus 16. How many years? 39 years. I was there in the world, but I couldn't have darshan of Prabhupada. But that doesn't make any difference. You can meet a great saintly personality always, constantly, through the instructions that they have given, through the vani that they have given, through the literature that they have left behind. They live with us constantly through the upadesh, through the vani that they have left behind for us. Those people who think that saintly person has gone, they reason ill. They have not understood the principle. The sadhus live forever through their instructions. And those who follow the instructions, the sadhu is always with them, giving heart to heart, most intimate association to those people. So we have the fortune of having the vani of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, having the vani of Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and enrich our life. Why today we remember him and celebrate his disappearance, appearance days? Because it gives us nourishment. It enriches our soul with the power of devotion. If you are down in life for something and ups and downs, these days give you strength. Because on these days, these acharyas are most merciful. You bow down and pray to them, they will give you empowerment. They will strengthen your soul. will enrich your devotion. They'll make you bold. They'll strengthen your convictions of this devotional life that we adopted. It may become dicey sometimes. But these days are very important because they give us lot of strength spiritually. So with this, I will offer my most humble, prostrated pranams to His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, the Guru Maharaj of Bhaktivedanta Swami, and beg Him, plead Him to bestow upon all of us His blessings and mercy, so that we can march on in our devotional life successfully forward and end our life with the wealth that we can carry forward to next life. Hare Krishna. His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. I was given topic that how to develop love and attachment to the Lord. But I want to ask the host, it is 5:30 already. Is there time for break? Okay. So the foremost of understanding that all of us have, that we are spirit souls. The first lesson Bhagavad Gita teaches us, that we are Atma. We are not the body. Aham Brahmasmi. And second lesson is that this Atma is the part and parcel of Supreme Atma, Paramatma. Mame Vancho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Second lesson, that we are, who are we? We are Atma. And who the Atma is the part and parcel of the Lord. And the third lesson that we learn is, what is the relationship between the Atma and Paramatma? Is love, devotion and service. And how to do that? That is the fourth lesson. How to connect? How to reconnect rather? Because we are disconnected. So how to reconnect? So reconnection means first you have to become qualified to connect. And how do you become qualified to connect with the Supreme Lord? Supreme Lord is all pure. The purest of all is Supreme Lord. And we are also pure in a minute extent, but we have become impure because of covering of this body. The body has influenced us to do wrong things and wrong thought processes and many, many things. So the first level of qualification for reconnection is that we give up hinsa. Give up violence. That means we do not kill anybody unnecessarily. But we kill animals and we eat animals. So we destroy the propensity of mercy within us. When we accept the product of hinsa, violence, as food, the violence also enters in us. And when violence comes in us, it destroys the propensity of mercy and kindness in us. So we give up that. We do not harm even an ant. Huh? Valmiki, before becoming Valmiki, used to cut animals and see them enjoying how nicely they are suffering and enjoy that. But great saintly personality Narad Muni came and gave him instructions. And then next time when Narad Muni came, what did he see? He was seeing that the personality who was killing the animals is not even stepping on the ants. Ants, so we step on and maybe hundreds of ants are killed daily when we are catching the bus or train. Who knows? But this personality now is so much transformed that propensity of mercy and kindness is so much developed in him that what to speak of killing animals, he was not even stepping on the ants, he was jumping from saving the ants and approaching his guru. So this is all within us, the propensity of kindness. And we should not destroy it by eating meat. We should cultivate it by giving up violence and cultivating non-violence. Number one. Number two, we should create inner purity. All of us are innately pure by nature, originally, by constitution. Naturally, we are all pure. Nityo nityanam, chetanas chetananam, eko bahunam, vidadhati kaman. The soul is by nature pure, eternally blissful. But because of the contamination of the birth in the body, we become impure. And to create the purity again, we need to give up illicit sex. The attachment to opposite sex out of marriage. Illegitimate connection we have to give up. Keep connection with one woman who is legitimately married with us. And you don't even think of anybody else. as the woman is chaste to the husband, and the husband has to be chaste to a wife. That's called loyalty. It's not chastity only for women. Huh? We only see Pativrata means only women. When men has to be Patnivrata, that is men's loyalty and commitment to a woman as wife. Rest all are mothers. Praviya Sri Rakumai Samana. All other women who are not our wives are our mothers. May there be 6-year-old girl also. We call them Mataji. That is our culture. So second principle is no illicit sex can create inner purity and sanctity within. Third is, all of us have, as human beings, power of performing tapasya. If you tell a dog in the morning that you wake up at 5 o'clock, take a bath in the river and come to chant with me, the dog will not understand what you are talking about. You tell the cat, you tell the bird, you tell the buffalo. Nobody can do that. Following rules and regulations is the bestow, is the blessing over human beings only. I can tell you, you can tell me, tomorrow morning 5 o'clock, 64 round chanting, please come to temple, Sishadripuram. I may come, if I am all right. But animal cannot come. Why? Because we all have been bestowed with the capacity to perform some tapasya, some rules and regulations, so that we can reach the Lord one day. And when we take intoxications, when we drink liquor, when we smoke bidis, cigarette, brown sugar, charas, ganja, heroin, whatever you do, intoxication, right from tea to topmost heroin, it destroys your capacity of performing tapasya. What is bestowed upon you by the Lord, by the dint of your human birth, you are destroying by yourself by taking intoxications. An intoxicated person is equal to an animal. He can't follow in rules and regulations. A sharabi, a drunkard, cannot get up in the morning and do some regulations here and there. Nothing, no rules and regulations he can follow. He's most indisciplined in the discussion about rules and regulations. The third level of being qualified to reconnect is to be free from intoxications. This intelligence that we have been bestowed by the Lord is especially given to us to understand Him and to reconnect with Him. Even the dog has intelligence, even the cat has intelligence, even the ant has intelligence, even the amoeba has intelligence to eat, sleep, to have sex and to defend. These four things, every living entity has been bestowed some intelligence by the Lord. And if we are human beings, we have given large intelligence. We also can do eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Ahar, nidra, bhaya, maithunam. But then why God has given such a big intelligence to us? So that with that big intelligence, we can understand Him. That subject matter is very deep and very difficult to understand. So that capacity of the intelligence to understand Him is distorted when you take intoxication. You know, somebody is gold medalist, somebody is IITian, for example, and he is drunk that particular day. What can he do that day when he is drunk? He is finished. His intelligence is completely mutilated, completely distorted, has become vikrut, perverted, when he is in intoxicated condition. And then next day he is hanging in hangover, and gradually his intelligence becomes very jada buddhi. Jada buddhi means very materialistic. The spiritual intelligence, that is called as sad asad vivek buddhi, sar asar buddhi. That is what is required to understand the Lord. That is destroyed when one takes intoxications. That is why we Hare Krishna don't take intoxications. It's not our fad that, you know, we have some different fad. No, we want to purify the impure intelligence that we have made impure by habits, by giving up all intoxications. And the fourth thing is, the qualification to reconnect with the Lord is to be truthful, is to cultivate truth in us. Satya, satyam param dhimahi. We not only cultivate, but we meditate on the truth. Param dhimahi means the param satya is supreme personality of Godhead, and we are supposed to meditate on Him, and also cultivate truthfulness in physical sense also, by not telling lies and not cheating anybody, being honest, having straightforward vyavahar with everybody. I'll just complete this point and we'll break. So there are four principles that will bring us to the platform of some genuine being human. We are all prani by birth. But when this prani has to become human being, we have to give up these four bad activities, the four pillars of sinful activities: illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and violence, that is meat eating. When these four things we do, the scriptures explain us that we become human beings. That point onwards, we are human beings. Till that time, Srimad Bhagavatam says, when people are doing these things, or anyone, or all four things, they are dvipada pashu, two-legged animals. All are animals only, but these are special animals. They are two-legged animals. Their two limbs have become hands. No more limbs. Now they are hands and they are legs. So we are little elevated. We are little advanced. Pragat, jeev. But when we follow these four regulative principles, we become human beings. And after you become human beings, then you try to become a devotee. You just cannot become from animalistic level straight to devotee level. Bhakta is a very high level. Who is a bhakta of the Lord? One who is not vibhakta from the Lord. One who is not disunited from the Lord. He is a bhakta. We are all vibhaktas. We are all already separated from the Lord. Already divorced long back, many lifetimes back. So becoming bhakta is a big, big goal of life. So after becoming human being, then you take the holy name of the Lord. And by connecting ourselves with the holy name, by chanting it regularly, we start our connecting process. We can't say, I am already connected. I am beginning in the process. The holy name will further purify us from all the vikaras. Kama, krodha, lobha, madha, moha, matsar. Shad ripus will start getting cleansed gradually. And then I will now take a break here and explain to you further what is happening next. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.